Father in heaven, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for this night, and thank you for giving us something that we can follow through with, like communion, and remember what you've done for us as we think about the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the body that was broken for us to have eternal life. And our Father tonight, please bless this until we meet on the other side. May we visualize that happening someday soon, when the Lord Jesus himself would have induced his bride to God the Father officially. And our Father, we set down the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he will head up that time, which tonight in every individual church, the pastor heads up. But until that time, then we'll be set aside, and the Lord Jesus himself will actually head up the Lord's Supper. It'll be looked at as a remembrance of what have happened, that we will be brought to mind of why we're there because of that precious blood that was shed that our sins might make it possible to be done away with through Jesus Christ. Father, as we think about that, let us be mindful that if we have loved ones who do not know Christ as Savior, Lord, they'll not be there in spite of how they may wish it, in spite of how they may think about it and think that God wouldn't keep their family from there. But he will if they don't know Christ. And Father, knowing Christ, no one can keep them from there. Thank God. There may be things in this life at times we don't understand. But Lord, one is born again and genuinely knows it. You're going to be sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb because it's because of the blood of Christ. And no doubt there's going to come a time that some think they'll be there, won't. And there'll be those we think will not be there. And they will be because it is counted based on the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Help us tonight to remember. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to turn, if you will, first of all, to 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to preach tonight. I know you don't believe that, but I'm not going to preach tonight. But I am going to read some verses of Scripture. And we know we read this for benefit of all of us as we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you heard me say many times, 26 years before this, Jesus sat down in the book of Matthew, in Matthew 26, verse 26, and gave them this ordinance. And Paul said this, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is spoken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup which he had supped, when he had supped, and saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in the remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." What an indictment for those who would do that unworthily. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep." That means they some have died because of that. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged," he said, "we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." And I thank God for the chastened hand of God at times, because when the chastened hand of God comes to a child of God, that means that it will set us straight in turns, and we don't have to worry about being condemned, because that's what he says. Now, how does this come about? I read to you in 1 John chapter 1, and we find this, where John said this, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is an indictment. He's talking to children of God here. He's not talking to them that are saved. Doesn't say, no, they're in sin. This epistle is written to the children of God. And he says, "If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Notice the pronoun, personal pronoun, ourselves. And he says this, in verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So in this, he's letting us know there is a quality of life that God requires after salvation. But thank God for times of communion, where God's people can meet together examine their lives before the Lord through the precious Word of God, and do what God said for us to do. And you know, I believe the Lord certainly knew that in traveling in life, and the more we get to the end of the age, the worse it's going to get. I believe the Lord knows we'll be rubbing elbows in this world, and there's going to be times this world will get so close to us, to agitate us, that we will actually, if nothing else, do something maybe that should not be done in the sense of fighting back the world sometimes. We're so easy deceived. And when we get to the place we think, well, we're probably puffed up and we find ourselves in a lot of problems before the Lord. Because, you know, God requires of me that which I know and that which I do not know. I cannot stand before the bar of God and claim ignorance on something I did not know, because I have the complete Word of God before me here. So the nights we come together, I'm glad He did this so that we as a body of believers could come before the Lord, be honest with Him, and ask God to search our heart. And if there's anything there, you and God together, we don't confess it out loud, it's just you and God together, should be sure as He convicts your heart, if you're ready for this, and the gateway to get ready to be worthy, as He tells us, is that we confess before God. And it's like refreshing. When we got saved, we had to confess our sin to God. And so this is saying now, that gets us out of the family of Satan into the family of God, as far as the world's concerned, but now we come to the place that is checkpoints in our life. And as often as you do this, in remembrance of Him, it shows forth His death, burial, and resurrection. Why? Because that is how we get into the family of God. Without that, there is no hope. So the nights we come together, we come together like God said. We believe what He says about His Word, about His blood. And we believe that we can do what John said, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And I like that, from all unrighteousness. And Titus 1:2 says He cannot lie. And John wrote what God said to write. It comes from God, and therefore it's God who cannot lie. You can mark it down. It's true. And so when I look at the verses like that somebody could possibly unworthily then confessing their sin before God makes them worthy. It's not that we go leave Him and promise God not sin no more, because if you promise that, more than likely before you get home tonight, something's going to happen. I mean, Satan, or before we wake up tomorrow, before we get through next week, something's going to happen, because when we think we arrive is when we're most vulnerable to Satan. He can really know us. He's around us all the time. He watches for our weak points. And by the way, He knows our weak points better than we do and better than our family does. So the night we come, and I thank God for this, because it's always like being refreshed again to know you're clean before God because you approached it the right way, you did the right thing, you looked at what God had to say. It's His Word that guides us. And when we do that, we accept the fact that we have been forgiven whatever has happened. And whether it's seen or unseen, or it's knowing or unknowing, we have been forgiven of it from here back to where we were the last confession or communion is concerned. So tonight, thank you for being here, because it shows you. That's the reason I say, people say, well, that's the reason I don't go. I have people tell me, preacher, the reason I don't go to communion, I don't know where if I could take it worthy or not. I'm glad. I don't know if any of us know where we could take it worthy or not, unless we knew that the Lord said we could confess our sins and we could take it worthy. You understand what I'm saying? He's saying we can approach God right tonight before the communion. And that's the reason He tells us that when you do this, as often as you do it, He said in 1 Corinthians again, the broken body, this doing remembrance of me. And He said, for then as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. And because He talks about confessing our sins, then 1 John certainly shows us what we can do to make it right when we do come to communion. So tonight, let's bow our heads together. And as we do, we think about ourselves, and we think about our family, and we think about our life as a child of God, as a brother and sister in Christ. And dear Father, tonight, we have to understand it's not what we think in the sense that we judge ourselves that we are not, that we already were, that You said that we need to be sure, sins confessed, that it is, that we do worthily take part of this in the right way. We don't make the rules ourselves. We come to You and obey You. And we know when we obey You, we can leave here as free from sin as it was the day we got saved. And we thank You for that promise. And as we meet tonight, dear Father, we're mindful one day soon we're going to be on the other side where the angels are. I don't know, they may even serve the tables. But God's people who've been redeemed are going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and over there we will partake of communion in remembrance of what God did for us. We will never get over the fact that even though in a glorified body, how much God loved us and what He did for us, that we were who were grossed in sin. No matter where we were at, anyone in sin is grossed in sin. Some may be worse than others, but we're all grossed in sin. And it took the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for us to be forgiven. And so tonight we can come here because we believe the record that God gave of His Son deep down in our soul. We honored You as You give us that privilege to come again and make things like they should be for You and partake of the Lord's Supper, showing the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Savior, and send with a gratitude of heart, thank You for what You've done for us, that we might be called children of God.